But there's no doubt for me, meat, fruit, then adding in honey, like I have all the energy I need to do what I want. I feel great.
On this week's podcast, I had my good friend, Ben Patrick. And even better than that, Ben came to Costa Rica. You may know Ben as knees over toes guy, and his contributions to the exercise space are incredible. He's helped me strengthen my knees. I use so many of his movements and thinking about movements in my routine to keep my shoulders strong, to keep my knees strong. And so I'm so grateful that he came on the podcast for this conversation. We talked about health. We talked about where he's going in his life, his next steps, his next new projects, which are super exciting, how he thinks about knees, our sort of shared interest in thinking outside the box. We also filmed a YouTube video about how to eat and how to train in a day. We'll put a link in the description of this podcast when it's out. When this podcast comes out, that video will probably not be out, but we'll link it when it is out. So stay tuned for the YouTube collab between me and knees over toes guy, Ben Patrick. Also, Animal Base 30 has now begun at Heart and Soil. It is a free 30-day animal-based challenge. All sorts of resources there, an animal-based eating guide, recipes, a community, discounts on supplements. You can go to animal-based 30, that's animalbased30.com to sign up. It started August 1st, but you can get in now. Join the community, tons of free resources there. All right, guys, I also want to thank the sponsors of this podcast who make this possible. This is free information, and I hope it's valuable for you all. These are all products that I use and appreciate, and so I'm happy to talk about them as sponsors for the podcast. Did you know that every year, humans dump 8 million tons of plastic garbage in the ocean? That's unfortunate because that's where your table salt comes from. That garbage breaks down into tiny pieces of microplastics that get into your salt, which is where the salt comes from. It crystallizes around those microplastics. That becomes a sort of salt crystals, which means that when you sprinkle it on your steak, vegetables, I don't know why you're eating vegetables, or French fries, they better be cooked in tallow, not seed oils. You are literally eating tiny pieces of plastic bags, water bottles, and other garbage. There's interesting evidence that these microplastics are not good for any animals. And a new study shows they're found in 90% of all salt tested. This is why I'm super stoked about Kalima sea salt. You can get your first bag free at drpaulsalt.com. These are free of ocean-borne microplastics. It's delicious. It's an amazing finishing salt, very crunchy. I bring it to Costa Rica with me because it's one of my favorite salts ever. It's hand-harvested from the Kalima salt flats in Mexico. You're supporting local agriculture there, local workers, the Salineros, by purchasing this 100% all-natural, unrefined, handmade, hand-harvested sea salt free of ocean-borne microplastics. Again, drpaulsalt.com to get your free bag of Kalima sea salt with your first order. I want to give a shout out to my friends at Bondcharge, bondcharge.com. They make all sorts of products that help protect you from blue light and electromagnetic fields. That's EMF stuff. When I was here with Ben, I was talking a lot about EMFs. He travels a lot and didn't know about this EMF blocking mat that I have under my computer. As I'm reading the intro to this podcast and I bring it on planes, anytime the computer is on my lap, there's this EMF blocking mat from Bond Charge between the computer and my testicles. There's very good evidence that the radiation coming off my computer, my cell phone, Bluetooth ear pods, which I don't use, these are not benign for humans. We don't understand dosing and how harmful they really are at the doses we get, but I would avoid these as much as possible, which is why I really appreciate this EMF blocking mat from Bond Charge. They also make blue light blocking glasses. They make earphones, earbuds that go in your phone that are much lower EMF than your wireless ones. Check them out, bondcharge.com. That's bondcharge.com. Use the code CARNIVOREMD to save 15% on your order. bondcharge.com, CARNIVOREMD for 15% on your order. You guys may have heard my previous podcast with Jeff Knobs and Tucker Goodrich, all about seed oils. Jeff Knobs is the CEO of Zero Acre. This is a company doing really cool things in the oil space. They've created a cultured oil, and they're able to modulate the amount of linoleic acid in that oil. So my hope is that Zero Acre oil will replace what's in the fryers and the cooktops of most mainstream restaurants in the future. I would really look forward to the day when McDonald's cooks their French fries in Zero Acre cultured oil rather than peanut or canola. If you've heard my reel on what's actually in McDonald's French fries, you know they have four different types of oils and hydrogenated oils. And those oils are much higher in linoleic acid, much more unstable than what Zero Acre is making in their cultured process. So you can find them at zeroacre.com. That's zeroacre.com. You can use the code Paul for an exclusive offer at their site, zeroacre.com/Paul, or use the code Paul. Their oil is packaged in infinitely recyclable aluminum containers, which prevent any light or oxygen oxidation of the oil. And again, it's cultured very low in linoleic acid. What's amazing at the ZeroAcre.com site is they have incredible resources. Go there, read the white papers about why seed oils cause cardiovascular disease, why seed oils cause obesity. You will learn a lot. Last but not least, I want to give a shout out to my friends at Air Doctor. So whether I'm in Costa Rica or Austin, Texas, having clean air is critically important to me, especially in my home. You guys know that I've got a dog. I try to minimize all the microplastics and plastics in my house, but there are always things like dust, particles, things that can get into the air, and these can accumulate. They accumulate in your bed, they accumulate in your clothes, and these worsen allergies. Dirt comes into the house, all these kinds of things. So did you know that Americans spend 90% of your time indoors? According to the EPA, indoor air quality is as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. That's why I'm super stoked this podcast is sponsored by Air Doctor. You breathe 30,000 gallons of air per day. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens so your lungs don't have to. It uses an ultra HEPA filter. It's been independently tested to remove 99.99% of bacteria and viruses. It also filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, all kinds of things that this thing will help get out inside your home. The classic 3000 purifier is powerful enough to circulate air in a 630 square foot home 4 times an hour. It's not noisy. They have whisper jet fans that are 30% quieter than the fans in ordinary air purifiers. That means you can run Air Doctor at the highest speeds while still enjoying a peaceful home environment. It's time to get peace of mind with Air Doctor. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code Paul. Depending on the model, you receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Lock in this special offer by going to AirDoctorPro. AirDoctorPro.com. Use the promo code Paul. That's up to 39% off or up to $300 if you go to AirDoctorPro.com. AirDoctorPro. Use the promo code Paul. On to the podcast.
Ben Patrick.
Hey, brother.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, brother. That's dangerous with a knife.
Oh.
To initiate the podcast, we're going to drink some coconuts. If you guys are not watching the video, you're missing out on this part, but you got the sweet heart and soil knife there. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks
the
for having me.
Best kind of water.
So good.
Chug some coconut water. Start the podcast.
Mother Nature did it so good.
So good.
I'm honestly shocked by being out here just how delicious everything is.
Everything is so good in Costa Rica. And what I've learned living here, and if you guys are listening to this and not watching the audio, we're recording this podcast outside. So you might hear some bird noises or some rain in the background. Hopefully the rainstorm that's happening right now in Costa Rica won't blow any of our cameras over, but we'll see. But what I've learned living here, and this has kind of been a theme of our conversation since you've been here, is that living near the equator is just easier as a human. The temperature here is always in this comfortable range. There's food growing everywhere. I imagine before a lot of humans were here, there were more animals to hunt or fish and they weren't polluted in the rivers. But I've literally got a coconut tree, multiple bananas trees, a star fruit tree, guanabana, an orange tree on my property. And I haven't even really tried to cultivate the fruit trees. You see wild mango trees on the side of the road. The temperature is here. The sun sets in the morning and at night about the same time all year round.
Wow.
You get this gradual circadian rhythm. It's easy to ground because the water's warm. There's fresh water everywhere to drink. It's not dry. And I think, wow, it's easy to be a human at the equator. And it lets me think, like, that probably would tie into movement. That probably would tie into these natural processes that make everything easier to be a human.
Yeah. I see why you live out here. It's been a killer experience spending these days out here, living with you, seeing the lifestyle, seeing how natural it is, coming from spending a lot of time in Los Angeles.
What's the juxtaposition like, Los Angeles to Costa Rica? I guess you've been here for a few days.
I mean, my overall realization is like nature, real fresh food, community, exercise. Like these are four really basic things that out for most people's lifestyles, you almost never have all four of those going. And yet those are commonly used as like interventions when people are depressed.
Or yeah.
You get these things in, okay, I exercised, I started to feel better. I started to eat real nutrition instead of processed junk, started to feel better. Finding people to connect with, spending time in nature. Yet that's literally just the baseline. So if people are out there depressed, not feeling well, for me it was the fact I couldn't exercise, I couldn't play basketball, hooked on pain-killing drugs, I was really depressed. Now coming all this time and realizing, wow, these basic things you have here, almost no one has. We gotta be a little bit easier on ourselves. Like if we don't feel happy all the time, we don't even have the baseline to start feeling that way.
And so the four, this was a really interesting part of our conversation yesterday when we were sitting by the pool. You got diet, so nutrition, movement, exercise, nature, community.
Yeah.
I agree, I think those are four tenets. And what I so appreciate about your work is that you've really taken the movement and exercise piece and thought about it in a way that very few have, which is really cool. So props for that.
Yeah, my main line of thinking over all these years has become, how do we restore the natural balance, the natural design of the body? Okay, it's natural for performance that we try to go forward, so to run faster, to jump, all these things. And then it turns out that going backward, moving the body backward, becomes incredibly therapeutic for the knees and the feet. And now training the tibialis muscle, which gets neglected. So over a lifetime of building all these muscles above, now you have more weight down into the foot, the shin, the knee, than nature intended. We get out of these balances. So like the program we did a full exercise program for your YouTube channel. All we're trying to do is actually restore natural balances.
Yeah.
That's become my way of thinking about exercise. The body was designed to work right, so where have we deviated? And then how can we use movement to balance out those flows?
I think about nutrition the same way. The body's designed to be healthy. Our resting state is one of health, of ease, of mental clarity, good sleep, healthy libido, resilience, flexibility, recovery, and freedom from chronic disease. How do we restore, how do we find the foods that help the body return to that sort of default state?
Let's dive into that.
Yeah, well.
Because I don't think I've done a podcast where I've gone into detail.
Yeah.
I mentioned on Rogan that I think I said number one, meat, number two, fruit. And then I said veggies optional. And even for that, I got a lot of heat.
I can't believe people are giving you shit about that.
But I think if we go into detail, I think it'll be cool to add more context. And you can also, just as I came in, like, and from an exercise perspective, you already had the same ideas I had. But to come in with that as my background and really fill out your program. And the same thing for you now, to fill out my diet. So let's go over what I have been eating.
Yeah.
I tend to do burger patty is kind of like my daytime go-to. And I get grass-fed beef and I'll often put a free-range egg on top. And I've used avocado over the years a lot during the daytime. And then at night, I'll have whatever the main protein is. And then I let myself really have as much fruit as I want. But I haven't tried some of these other areas, like the raw milk. I have used honey on different things, like I've started to integrate honey. So even that for me, I went from trying to do low carb, which I'm not anti-low carb for short periods if someone has like sedentary lifestyle. I think low carb can have its values, but it wasn't creating a good lifestyle for me. What I found now is by shifting to this style, adding in the fruit being the huge shift for me. Not thinking of meat as like, oh God, I want to make sure I don't eat too much meat. I've been able to have huge energy for like 3 years. And I was able to go 821 days without a cheat meal.
That's amazing.
Which would have been impossible without these satisfying foods.
Right.
And the reason is I found that when helping people with diet, the biggest barrier is they couldn't stick to a diet.
Yes.
So it's like, I really went on this journey when my son was born. Okay, he's just gonna be having breast milk. He's not gonna know about junk food. This is my opportunity. Day 821, he was like, finally figured out what ice cream was for the first time and was like going like that. And so there you go. But when I do your diet, compared to when I've done any other diet. I don't have that need for junk. And those are the real killers. That's what I'm only anti the people, we don't even know who they are, these huge companies that are knowingly profiting on all of us suffering. Every one of us, no matter what your dietary belief is, this expert advertising, studying us, dissecting us to figure out how to get us, how to make us eat junk, how to pump us full of toxins just for more profit, more profit, more profit, more profit. So anyone in the health space that's using nutrition or exercise as a front line,
right,
rather than just rushing to medical. I was given painkillers before exercise was mentioned for my knees. And then painkillers, you want to have a surgery? Give a young athlete painkillers because they will now go too hard because they can't feel the pain. They turn into a surgery patient like this.
Oh my God.
So anyone even trying to do something about the over-medication, filling us with toxins, giving us junk food intentionally, getting us addicted to all that stuff, I'm on the same team with you. But there's no doubt for me, meat, fruit, then adding in honey, like I have all the energy I need to do what I want. I feel great. I know I've been blabbing forever, but I haven't opened up about the diet this degree. And the huge thing for me was my 2-year-old having like chronic cold type symptoms for months, putting him on meat and fruit and just disappeared. We've now been like 6 months and he's just thriving and his whole like his muscle tone has changed and his energy and he's happier. And like as a parent, I mean, that's priceless. So fill in now, help me fill in the gaps. Why does this work? Like, why does what I've done, why does it work for me? Why does it work for my kid? My 69-year-old mother is one of the most athletic people approaching 70 I've ever seen. She also, meat, fruit is her primaries by far. Anything else is way secondary for her. Why is that working for us? But also, like, you know, what else should we learn about diet?
That's so cool. I mean, thank you for sharing that, because these anecdotes, and they're just anecdotes, it's your story, it's your family story, but you're in the health space and you're working with athletes that are maybe trying it also and seeing it. I was recently in Los Angeles and I hear the stories. It's so cool to see people doing this. I don't think of it as my diet. I definitely didn't invent this diet.
It just says it's not my exercise. I'm just helping educate.
Exactly.
We're educators.
Exactly. It's a way of eating that I think makes sense. And when I hear about kids, that's what makes me the most happy. It makes me think that's so cool because, you know, you're 32 and you're an incredibly vital human. And your son is 2, almost 3, and he has his whole life. And I think about my childhood, and you can probably think about your childhood. I don't know how sick or healthy you were as a child. But when I was a kid, I had eczema and I had asthma. I had an inhaler all the time. My parents were medicating me with theophylline in my applesauce. I was over-medicated as a kid. And they were putting this bitter, you know, beta agonist medication in my applesauce to control my asthma. And I didn't know any better as a kid. I'm just doing what my parents tell me. I didn't want to eat the stuff. It didn't taste good. Probably made me kind of hyper. They don't even give theophylline to kids anymore for asthma. They use inhalers. I used a lot of these beta agonist inhalers for my asthma. But nobody ever thinks what's causing that in that kid. My childhood would have been different if my parents had known what I know. Because we know that some foods like raw milk, which we'll talk about in more detail in a moment, have been associated with significantly lower rates of asthma, which is what I had, eczema, which is what I had, all the atopic syndromes, and then hay fever and allergies, that whole syndrome, that's what I had in kids who drink that stuff growing up. So we were talking about maybe getting raw milk into your kids' diets. And these are kids who grew up on or off farms. So I'm passionate about it because of my childhood and my sister's childhood. She grew up with recurrent infections in her sinuses. She had a urinary tract infection once that was so bad when she was a kid. And then she got antibiotics. And then she got Clostridium difficile colitis. She got toxic megacolon. My sister at the age of 16 or 17 years old almost lost her colon. That would have changed her life. She would have had a colostomy bag for the rest of her life because of things that were happening in her diet and her immune system. I strongly believe that. These are things that are avoidable for so many of us. And thankfully, eventually I figured it out for myself. But I think for your son, how many things could we potentially have avoided for him, you know, by doing these things? So,
and the kids don't have a choice. They're a product of the society around them.
Exactly.
And some of this stuff is so unnatural. And the toxins are already getting so high. And so now if our diet can't detox us and do its functions, you have this double whammy against it. You already have more environmental toxins. Then your food is not giving you what you need to boost your immune system, to detox yourself. It's a rough state out there for the modern kid. And that may sound impossible to do something about that, but motherfucker, if we're not gonna try.
Yeah, we gotta try. And I think I always say, I heard this from someone else, like knowledge is power, know better, do better.
Raised my testosterone levels. Check out this review on Whole Package from Heart and Soil Supplements. Gabe says, I've been following Paul for about 6 months. I'm grateful for the wisdom he shared with us. Seed oil elimination, an animal-based diet, and now Whole Package has given me a boost in energy that I couldn't have dreamt of with all the supplements I was taking before. I was hovering around 500 in testosterone levels 3 months ago, and now I am at 695. Healthy testosterone levels, in my opinion, are the single most important thing for men. I'm a better version of myself, and I cannot wait to continue seeing the results in work, life, and the gym. The blood never lies, and Whole Package is the real deal. Whole Package is definitely one of my favorite supplements that we make at Heart and Soil. It contains testicle, liver, and blood. And all of our supplements are Informed Sports certified at Heart and Soil, which means they have no contaminants, except Whole Package didn't pass that testing. Not because it has contaminants, but because it contains bioactive androgens like testosterone, androstenedione, and Informed Sports, which is an even more rigorous version of NSF certification of supplements, won't certify anything that has testosterone in it. Well, the testosterone in Whole Package is actually from testicles. It occurs naturally there, and it's found in their assays. So this is an amazing supplement if you're a man and you're looking to improve your testosterone, improve your overall health, improve your libido, improve your sleep, improve your muscle tone, improve your recovery, improve your mood. Check it out. Check all of our supplements out. All of our supplements are grass-fed, grass-finished from regeneratively raised animals in New Zealand. They're all packaged in glass because plastic is bullshit. And you can find us at heartandsoil.co.
When I suggest things to people, whether it's cutting out chocolate or cutting out coffee, they think, oh, it's too much. And I think, well, do what you can. Know better, do better.
Yeah.
And I agree with what you said earlier. I wanted to highlight this, that I don't see vegans as the enemy. I don't see people who have different dietary views as the enemy. I agree that anyone who's working toward helping educate people about the dangers of processed food, that's the real enemy. And we can all agree on certain things. And I think getting rid of processed food is probably the single greatest thing humans can do.
Yep.
And I did a live on Instagram earlier today, and somebody asked me this, can we just eat whole foods? And I said, yes. But where the step went further for me was that I, in medical school, and actually in my residency at University of Washington, I was eating all whole foods and I still had eczema. And so I know from my experience and the experience of many people that just cutting out processed foods is not enough for some people. They might be eating pasteurized milk, or maybe they're eating a certain type of egg that's fed corn and soy and that's triggering, or maybe they're eating vegetables, something that everyone thinks are healthy, that's triggering issues. So that's kind of where the animal-based diet perspective came from for me. I started as carnivore, strictly meat and organs, and that helped my eczema, but then long term it didn't work for my athletic stuff because of the lack of carbohydrates, something I've talked about a lot on other podcasts, etc. So adding back in what I thought of at that time as the least toxic carbohydrates, fruit, and then honey made sense. And I think I got the idea from an anthropologist that I interviewed on my podcast.
Wow.
And he said, you know, if you go to the Amazon, which where he spent a lot of time, they basically eat fish and peccary, which is like an anteater, or not an anteater, but kind of like a hog. And then they eat animals and fish, and they eat fruit when it's in season. That's basically what they eat in the Amazon. I thought, okay, meat and fruit, that makes sense. And when we say meat, we mean all the organs, everything.
Yep.
And then I got interested in these indigenous cultures around the world, like the Hadza. And you read books by Frank Marlowe, who did his PhD thesis, and they basically eat meat and fruit. If you look at their most favorite foods, they're honey. Honey is their favorite fruit. And then the women and men are sort of divided whether they like berries or meat first or second. And then they eat this baobab fruit and they eat honey first. And the last thing they want to eat is tubers, which is sort of like in between a fruit and a vegetable, but technically it's a vegetable. So you see this pattern over and over and over in these indigenous cultures. And then I thought, this makes sense. If you and I are in a tribe and we're out in the wilderness, we're going to hunt an animal. And if we see a ripe, and especially here in Costa Rica by the equator, if I see a ripe mango on the tree, I'm going to be like, hey, I want a mango. Hey, Ben, you want a mango? Or if we find a beehive, we're going to get some honey, share it with people, bring it back to the tribe. It just makes sense that these are the foods that humans gravitate toward. And you said it with your son, too. I think kids know this. And this is why I want to write a kid's book. Like, so many fights happen at the dinner table. And it happened at my dinner table growing up over vegetables.
Being forced to eat stuff you don't want.
Yes.
To eat.
I remember vomiting in my pea soup.
Kids will devour fruit.
And they'll devour meat.
And then you find different meats they like and they devour it.
They devour it.
They love it.
It's and like
these, it's are, these have calories. Like these have these
nutrients.
These are foods to thrive.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've just found like I thrive when meat and fruit are my primary foods. And then I see the same thing my kids. I see the same things in my mom. I have friends like Mark Bell, super close friend of mine. And guys like Mark and I, as fitness people, we've tried like every type of diet under the sun. And we do best when meat and fruit is our primary stuff.
It makes sense.
Yeah, one of my best friends in the world, Fernando Lopez, who I train with every day, is kind of like a training partner for me. And he has worked with so many clients over like 10 years. And same thing, he's tried so many different things and meat and fruit ends up our primaries. And this guy's like, Fernando's like shredded and has muscle. And I've known him closely. I've lived with him like 100% natural. And I mean, that's what you want out of life, like to thrive, to be able to have strength and be lean and be active. So before I'd almost have to be super low carb, trying to not have too much red meat, like
right.
being worried about red meat, maybe like sliced turkey or something. And like I was getting by, but I wouldn't say I was like thriving. So if you've seen me on social media, you've probably seen me on a meat and fruit diet because I've spent 90%+ of the last 3 to 4 years on meat and fruit. And that's when I started like just taking off on social media, productivity through the roof, sleep quality great. Cause I couldn't, if I didn't like the fruit, then I started just sleeping great with that. So, I mean.
I had sleep issues when I wasn't eating carbohydrates. So I did carnivore, meat, organs, animal fat, and salt. And I was getting palpitations at night. I had cramps when I would try to climb in my legs. I'd wake up with cramps. I'd have sleep disturbances. I remember, I don't know if I've talked about this much, when I was in my residency, I think I got so magnesium deficient from a strict keto diet that I had hypnagogic jerks, which is when you're falling asleep, and if anyone's experienced this, they know this, and you wake yourself up because you feel like you're falling, and it's a magnesium deficiency primarily. And I had it at one time in my residency after I'd probably been doing keto for a few months. I had it so badly that I had multiple nights of insomnia because you go to sleep and you have this hypnagogic jerk.
Jeez.
Where you just jerk yourself awake and your sympathetic nervous system is activated, and then you go to sleep again and it happens again. And then after it happens 2 or 3 times, you're afraid to fall asleep. And that's one of the problems that I experienced without carbohydrates. It all gets better when you add back carbohydrates. And that's kind of a separate podcast that I've done multiple times, so we don't have to dwell on that. But I wanted to go back to your friend Fernando.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
Similar height as me.
Okay. So
about 6 foot.
6 foot?
Like I'm 6'1", I think he's 6 foot.
How much does he weigh?
He's like 205.
Okay.
Like muscle, but like shredded six pack.
Uh-huh.
Super strong, can dunk a basketball,
yeah.
All this stuff, like thriving.
It's just interesting for me to think about, because I know that there's a spectrum of people, right? And I think how muscular can a human get naturally? This is sort of the bodybuilding debate, right? And one of our friends, Filippo, is standing on the other side of this camera. And I think he's on one side of the spectrum. How tall are you? 5'11", 6 foot?
5'11".
And how much do you weigh?
Probably close to 220 right now.
5'11".
215 for sure.
5'11", 215 to 220. Yeah. I would say Filippo is about as muscular as a human could ever get naturally.
You have different genetic backgrounds of different things. Fernando has sort of, I guess, Cuban and some other mixture. And Filippo, obviously, more like some certain European that you can see. And it's super crazy story. Filippo, back here behind the camera, one of the guys who works for Paul, was one of my first athletes that I trained at my gym way before social media. And Fernando was like the main trainer with me at the gym, and we were all super tight. And now come full circle, and I'm here in Costa Rica with Filippo.
It's cool.
Too wild.
It's pretty cool.
Too wild.
And we were all hanging out at the river yesterday. But I think about that, you know, because there's always this interesting discussion on social media, is this person natural or not? And I mean, seeing Filippo, I think, wow, I mean, that's a bigger human than I usually think of. You know, I think about my build, and when I stand next to Filippo, I look skinny. When I stand next to a regular surfer, I look like I'm super muscular. So I think that there's this continuum. It's interesting to think that some people are probably built. So for your athletes, we can talk about this with food, and then I want to get into some training stuff. How do you think your athletes could gain weight? Like if you were working with somebody—
We just increased the meat, fruit, honey. So, and that's what's so cool is if I rewind, I went into high school at 92 pounds. I was like the skinniest kid to the point that the coaches were like making me like take stuff to bulk up, even for basketball. Like I was just so skinny. My dad graduated high school at 125 pounds, 5'11", 125 pounds.
Wow.
Like super skinny genetics. So now I was like taking all these different weight gainers and trying to bulk up. And I ended up with the worst acne that like scarred me for years, like mentally. And had had, you know, went from the painkillers to surgeries to then hooked on stronger painkillers. I was super depressed in high school between the acne and the knee problems. But looking back, it's pretty wild, like, how far my diet was from something as simple as I could have just increased quantity of meat, fruit, honey, and been so much healthier and not had all the acne. So it's like, it's such great day to have now as a coach who might have, who often has to help people who need to put on muscle, because it really depends on the sport. We rarely actually see this in basketball, but in football, it's a big issue, and baseball and these kind of sports. And usually it's like, all right, well, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and wind up super unhealthy, taking a bunch of artificial crap to get enough calories. You increase the meat, fruit, honey, add raw milk to it, you can now approximate those same calories, building more muscle, less fat, feeling way better. Game changer.
And getting a ton of nutrients wrapped into that. I mean, this is something I've been talking about a lot. Last week's podcast, I talked about meat and longevity. For anyone that missed the podcast, the summary is that there are unique nutrients found in meat and organs that are essential for human longevity. And this never gets talked about with the longevity community. What you do is like amazing for people's longevity for knees and hips and shoulders. And I think about how can we eat for longevity of all those things, but also for our brains and our livers and our pancreas. And things like taurine, studied in worms and mice and primates, taurine supplementation clearly improves longevity, and it's only found in meat.
Wow.
So how can meat be bad for longevity? And then we think about creatine, which is perhaps the single most studied substance on the planet for
yep.
performance enhancement. Carnosine is an antioxidant, and serine is a valuable amino acid dipeptide that's found in meat. 4-hydroxyproline is in collagen. So many studies with 4-hydroxyproline and collagen hydrolysate for skin health. And talk about longevity. Your skin looks good. That's a good indicator of how long you're going to live. That's only found in animal foods, but they're bad for longevity. That whole conversation is just really crazy to me. But I think for weight gain, I agree with you. People ask me all the time, how do I gain weight? There's like almost an equal number of people say, how do I gain weight? How do I lose weight?
Yeah.
And the equation is the same, really. It's if you want to gain weight, eat more meat, eat more calories from carbohydrates, fruit and honey to start.
And your lifting might progress to more loads yeah. on the bar. But it yeah. doesn't really mean that, like, the amount of volume you put onto the weight training, the amount of volume you put into the food, it doesn't really have to be a different program to lose or gain weight.
Yeah.
It's just different amounts of telling your body to add more weight and to the bar, and different amounts of putting in more calories than you're burning. I mean, to me, it's like the same formula.
And in some ways, it's interesting because you could almost use the same formula to lose weight or gain weight.
Yeah.
If someone's healthy and they're an athlete, if they do more meat, more honey, and more fruit, and more weightlifting, they'll gain weight. But if somebody's unhealthy and they have extra adipose tissue, and they do more meat,
right.
more fruit, and more
good
honey,
point. It'll self-regulate.
And more lifting weights, they'll lose weight.
Yeah.
So how interesting is
that? That's a
great
point.
How interesting is that?
It'll kind of self, yeah, like the person who's underweight will now put on nice muscle tissue. Like my kid was more, a little bit more on the underweight, thinner side, and then because of the meat and fruit, now he's like got some nicer meat on his bones. But the same thing would happen if a kid was really plumped up off all these crazy baby foods they get. Oh my gosh, even get me. So you see, I remember getting in the store one time, you get like the baby pouch thing and it says number one doctor recommended. The first ingredient was just sugar. Like, and then it only got worse from there. Like number one, like that's the context people need. Like we are in a world where we are getting blasted. We are getting blasted by people trying to oppress us, lying to us. So anyways, don't want to get too
No, but
upset
a super important
that.
Point
but
there.
I actually want to dive a lot deeper into toxins.
Yeah.
Like I want to learn going forward for my kids.
Yeah.
What foods are going to eliminate the toxins? You talk about the different clothing. Like I really want to dive into that.
You got cotton shorts on now.
Yeah, I've got cotton shorts. We make our shirts bamboo, but you know, my wife, she runs like a lot of the back end kind of stuff, and she's looking into actually doing all our gear in cotton.
Yeah,
she's testing it out.
Yeah.
But what's the date? Like, what's the deal there, I got?
Yeah.
This is not common knowledge. These things should be common knowledge.
Yeah.
So what's the knowledge?
Let's talk about that. I just want to address the sugar thing because
yeah.
I want people to have cognitive dissonance who are listening thinking, you're recommending fruit and honey, but then you're saying sugar is bad in baby food. These are not the same thing.
Yeah.
When I think the problem with most sugars, especially high fructose corn syrup, but also probably processed sucrose, is that in the processing, things get added in. And we see this over and over. A fruit is going to have glucose, it's going to have fructose, it's going to have sucrose, which is a disaccharide of glucose and fructose. A banana is going to have that, honey is going to have that, a coconut water has that. But And this is going to sound woo-woo, but this is Mother Nature making these things. There's no mercury, arsenic, cadmium, or lead in these things that have been added in exogenously because it didn't have to be processed. But when you make high fructose corn syrup, which is made from corn, they have to take the glucose out of the corn. They have to cut it up because it's in a long polymer.
And they put that stuff in the kid stuff, the seed oils.
Yeah, the seed
then
oils.
Then they don't put like hardly any protein.
Yeah.
And then they make it seem like it's a complete food.
Exactly. But the processing of the high fructose corn syrup means that you add things that you have to extract, the solvents, so you get solvent additives, you get heavy metals in high fructose corn syrup. The same things are probably contaminating table sugar and sucrose. There's even something in grocery stores now, which isn't really the subject of this podcast, called a peel. And it's this coating that goes on avocados, grapes, lemons, and limes. And it's made from grapeseed oil. And so they take grapeseed oil, which is a seed oil, and they turn it into mono and diglycerides, which is probably going to cause some trans fats. But as they're moving these molecules around and they're making this coating that they put on fruit to make it stay better longer, in the actual like product information about a peel, they have traces of palladium, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, lead, heptane to extract it. So this, I think, is the main problem with a lot of these things. And one of the main problems with seed oils is that you have this process of processing the extraction of these foods leaves residue of toxic things. We know that there are hexane extractions in seed oils, that the oils are fragile, they turn into trans fats. It's just a big problem. So it kind of goes back to this basic thing. You want to eat, quote, natural foods. Is a bread or wheat made from an unprocessed wheat better than a super processed wheat? Yes. I don't think bread is great in general, but there's a continuum with all of these foods for all these things. So going back to what you were saying about the clothing, it's just coming at us from everywhere. You think like, what are your kids sleeping on? What's the bed made out of? What are the sheets made out of? What kind of clothes are your kids wearing? What kind of diapers are they wearing?
So what's the deal? It's like, is cotton just has less toxins or?
Well, if it's organic cotton, right? Okay. And then there's wool, which is from the sheep, from an animal. And that's not gonna be sprayed with pesticides and stuff. So wool is good. Organic cotton is good. Non-organic cotton can actually have pesticides sprayed on it quite a bit. But then you get into things like polyester. So earlier today, we did kind of a tongue-in-cheek reel on the beach. We were talking about backwards walking, and you were telling me how good it was, and I was calling out the polyester shorts. Well, this is the whole thing. It's kind of getting viral now, right now, with these Lululemon leggings, because women often don't wear underwear. And I mean, the vagina is a very absorbent area, and you have the crotch region of many of these leggings is coated with extra amounts of these sort of moisture-resistant substances like PFAs. Perfluoroalkyl substances, and that can get absorbed in the human body. It could get absorbed from our skin. It could get absorbed from the mucous membranes of our genitals. It's just a bad thing to have on your body. So that's what I worry about when you're wearing polyester shorts.
Yep.
Are there PFAs in there that can be absorbed through the dermis, either the squamous epithelium of your skin or a mucous membrane of your genitals? These kind of things, they're delicate places that you can absorb things. And for kids too, it's like we can absorb these chemicals through our skin, and they're in all the things that we're touching all the time. So the simplest way, I mean, this is just a wool shirt that I got on Amazon, a super basic pair of cotton shorts. That's it. And, you know.
So wool and cotton is the go-to.
And I was actually just talking to my friend Robbie Sansom from Force of Nature the other day, and he was asking me about underwear. And there's a company called NADS that actually sent me some underwear, and they make 100%.
Are they good?
Yeah, 100% cotton. No dyes like boxers. And that's really hard to find. So that's kind of cool.
That's great.
Have no affiliation with them or anything. So
yeah,
just a simple cotton for most of the stuff, I think, is what you want.
Thank you for clarifying that. Makes it simple.
Yeah, yeah. But let's go to the training a little bit and talk about that for people. Yeah. We did a YouTube video that we'll link to. But do you want to just, in the podcast, tell people about what sort of stuff you took me through earlier today?
Yeah. I would say there's like a couple really key principles that seems to help just about everyone. One of them is that you really can't have too much ability from the ground up. What does that mean? That means like your foot, your lower leg muscles. There's 29 different muscles associated with the foot and the ankle, lower leg muscles, muscles around the knee. And because of the way fitness evolved, it skipped a lot of these muscles. So if you go into the gym and you do your leg day, squat, deadlift, leg press, leg extension, your foot just didn't get loaded. Then if you're told no knees over toes, that means you're now avoiding putting pressure on the muscle closest to the knee that's been found now to stabilize the knee. So like long-term study on, for example, a full range of motion squat where your knee goes over your toes, analyzed 162 research papers, found that contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't put your knee at more risk of injury, and full range of motion squat actually allows you to strengthen internally in the knee. Like, you actually, those structures in your knee have anabolic properties. They can grow and strengthen.
Wow.
It's not only a process of just avoiding putting pressure the rest of your life. No, no, no. By figuring out how to put pressure, you actually preserve. It's been found that full range of motion squatting preserves the body.
So you want to put pressure into the knee.
Yeah, but how to do that at a pain-free level.
So right.
If rushing into a full squat hurts, well, what we worked on today was working on that one side at a time in the stairwell on a full range of motion split squat. So this kind of transitions us from the first concept of being strong from the ground up to the second concept of taking our strength and our flexibility and realizing that those together is kind of what makes your mobility. So something like a ATG split squat where you're going full range of motion on the front leg, stretching out the back leg, you're engaged the whole time. Is it a strength exercise? Is it a stretch? It's a strength stretch exercise. And for a lot of people spending hour upon hour separately training strength and flexibility, it might be more powerful to train these things together. And that can lead to really powerful effects for restoring the ability to full squat and to be able to use that as a strength building exercise. And this goes from the ankles to the knees to the hips to the shoulders. So most people out there, whatever they feel like now, they have a ton of athletic potential in the tank by marrying up strength and flexibility in some of these really unusual, scarcely used exercises, and also by addressing their strength from the ground up, the foot, the ankle, on up. Those two things together, man, if you get that in for people, I mean, my personal estimation is that like 80% of surgeries are unnecessary. This is just my personal estimation after working with thousands of clients, having thousands of success stories of people who had surgeries scheduled, and now we're seeing modern data come out saying, showing how the surgeries aren't as necessary as like they do tests and they do the fake surgeries and stuff like that. And the point is just to think about it optimistically. With diet and exercise, trying to approximate nature, you look like you have superpowers compared to the average person. I'm someone who had bottom of the barrel knees, and then people see me doing these dunks and these feats of strength. But now my whole staff is doing that. Our weekly basketball game, I'm not even one of the top five highest jumpers. We have the highest jumping weekly basketball game in the world.
What's your vertical?
42 inches. I've done a maximum. So it's like in basketball, we test with a running start.
Uh-huh.
We have five guys 45 or above.
Oh my God.
Because these were guys who did start out with good genetics, didn't have knee surgeries, and now we're doing the same stuff I'm doing. So the stuff I can do now, being in my 30s, dunking with ease, even though I reached age 20, having never even been able to like grab the rim, chronic knee pain, needing painkillers just to get through the day. I had to ice my knees four times a day just to keep the pain down enough to get through the day, to now spending less time exercising, not even taking supplements, and just really trying to approximate natural diet and natural exercise. And it's a totally different world. And then, so longevity now is looking just like a different life for me. And that's priceless, being a dad. And I wanted to dive in as well. One supplement I have taken is your organ supplement, because
cool.
In our household, we're doing like your ninny American, like animal-based diet. We don't cook up the organs and stuff like that.
We're gonna eat raw liver tonight for dinner.
I'm excited to
Ben
try that.
Ben hasn't done it yet.
I will say that for our kids, we happen to live, when we're in LA, we live right by one of these Erewhon places where Paul has a shake that has a bunch of the animal-based stuff in it. And my kids think that's like dessert.
So
they're actually getting a lot of the organs. But I wanted you to break that down as well. I want to kind of know, like, looking ahead, like, what's the best way for me to integrate that with my family? Is it important? Why is it important?
So we talked about the meat, and we talked about taurine, anserine, carnosine, 4-hydroxyproline, and creatine in meat. But you can really say the same thing about liver. Let's just talk about liver, right? Which is this big organ that lives on your right upper quadrant. It's a detoxification organ. It doesn't store toxins. It makes toxins available for poop and pee excretion. So the liver is like the factory that helps you get rid of problematic things, or biotransforms things, and is actually responsible for biotransforming a lot of the toxins that we come in contact in vegetables, which can be problematic for humans. But because of all that enzymatic machinery, the liver is uniquely full of nutrients. And so it's kind of like, to misuse a metaphor, it's like peanut butter and jelly, right? Meat and organs complete the nutritional picture. And there's a graphic, maybe we can put the graphic on the screen and YouTube. It's in both of my books, my book and my cookbook, comparing like the nutrients in liver, 3 ounces of liver, to the nutrients in meat, 3 ounces of meat, or the nutrients in kale or blueberries. Liver has so much of basically everything. You get unique things that are really not found much in muscle meat, like riboflavin or bioavailable vitamin A. You get more choline than muscle meat. You get copper, which isn't really found in muscle meat, but balances the zinc that's in muscle meat. You get vitamin K2, which is found in muscle meat, but higher in liver. You get more biotin in liver. It's just...
So it's a powerhouse.
It's amped up.
And people naturally would be eating organ meats.
It's probably the most celebrated part of the animal. When I was in Tanzania, you had to be a peme. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Like only the organ meats were shared with like the highest ranking males in the tribe. So it's an honor to eat the organs.
Wow.
And the guy that kills the animal is usually the guy that gets to eat the brain or other parts that are very prized. Wow. So here in the United States, we talk about eating brain and people make like, ew, icky faces. But in Tanzania, the fact that I got to eat the brain of an animal with the hunter that killed the animal is a massive honor for me because that's his prize.
Wow.
And that's what sort of like, in Tanzania, husbands are chosen based on how good of a hunter you are.
Wow.
That's how you know, in your world, girls like guys with big tibs, right? Tibia's interior, you know, like in mainstream society, girls might like guys with successful jobs or a six pack, or maybe they're kind and they're good providers.
Yeah, it's about survival. So if you can provide well,
if you're a good hunter,
healthy and you can provide well, you're like peak of the
food chain. That's how you become the chief and the alpha, really. And that's historically what we believe also happened for humans. So the organs were never shunned.
Wow.
And they have unique nutrients and they have unique peptides too, which is something that isn't really thought about. Just like we in mainstream society think about meat as protein, butter as fat, and fruit or honey as carbs, every one of those foods has multiple levels of complexity beyond that, right? We talked about meat, taurine, anserine, carnosine, B12, K2, micronutrients. Butter has all sorts of unique nutrients, has vitamin K2, vitamin E, stearic acid, unique fat molecules that have hormonal effects on humans, lipokines in some ways. Even honey, bioactive components in honey, prebiotics. There's over 300 bioactive components in honey, and it never goes bad. Apparently, my friend told me the other day, there are stores of honey that are 3,000 years old. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't spoil.
Seems impossible.
That's an amazing food. And the same thing is true of raw milk, actually. We can put on the screen in YouTube. There have been these comparisons of raw milk versus various types of pasteurized milk. And at 3 or 4 months, the raw milk was not moldy. And the pasteurized milks were all moldy. So interestingly, so just food is much more complexity and information for the human body than we think of. The same thing with organs. They're not just calories or protein. They're information. It's information, and liver is like, you're basically giving your body this program to run to say, abundance, abundance. People ask me all the time, can women do liver in pregnancy? Absolutely.
So for me and my family, it seems like smoothie is gonna be a go-to way for the kids, because I can put fruit, honey, coconut water.
Raw milk,
blend it up. It'll taste delicious, and I can put the capsules in there.
Yeah, you can put hardened soil capsules. Yeah.
Exactly, which capsules do you think I should put for my kids?
I would start with just beef organs, which is heart, liver.
That's the one I took that I really enjoyed, was taking the beef organs, because I felt like for me, I was filling that missing gap. Because my whole thing is filling all these gaps of what's natural, and then I'm not doing the organs. I'm kind of going against my own. So it always sticks out to me. I'm like, I feel like that's the one thing I should take. And I've also enjoyed taking like the way the coconut water tastes here is so much better than the canned and bottled stuff that I can't really bring myself to. I got to experience it about a year ago. I met you here.
Yeah.
And so I have taken like some electrolyte, like some extra electrolyte supplements. My buddy Fernando makes electrolyte supplements.
Right.
So I do feel like maybe extra electrolytes for someone who lives around the equator. Like I'd like to kind of find out what you think will really, really fill out my protocol that I leave here that I'm really confident going home and going forward. So the beef organs I've already tried. I love. It's in the smoothies my kids have. They love it. So I feel like that's a pretty good.
That's a great start.
Maybe now add in a bit of raw milk into our diets.
Or raw cheese, raw kefir.
You stirred honey into the raw milk, and it's like
it's a milkshake.
Right. It tastes delicious.
It's so good.
Now, have you talked to people who have made like the raw milk ice cream with the honey and stuff?
Oh, I've done it. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how to do it? What do you get?
So to make raw ice cream, you get raw cream.
Oh, okay.
So whole milk is 4% fat, but raw cream is 40 to 60% fat.
Okay, so raw cream.
Raw cream, and then you can add a raw egg yolk, you can add mango or whatever
fruit you want.
Do you
put the honey in there?
And you put some honey and a little bit of salt. And then you can mix in either colostrum powder or organ powder. Wow. And you can make organs in the ice cream, but basically the simple way to make ice cream is cream and something sweet, like a fruit or a honey, maple syrup. It's so good.
I've seen some parents just crushing with that, like going on Twitter, like, guys, my kids are devouring this stuff. And it was like hard to get them to eat the individual stuff. And the kids are like devouring this raw milk ice cream.
And it's not bad for them.
Yeah.
Now, is that all you want your kids to eat?
No, of course not. But as dessert at night, instead of eating actual junk pumped full of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And it, like the glass of raw milk, and I think you said that was goat's milk. I've never tried goat's milk, and I'm like, I still don't believe that was goat's milk because it tasted too good. I'm like,
it's so good.
How was that raw goat's milk? Like that's got to be so healthy for my kids.
It's so
good. All it was raw goat's milk and honey.
Either cow or goat, anything. And what I learned recently, because I went to a farm in California, you guys, 2 or 3 podcasts ago, you can find the podcast with Mark McAfee from Raw Farm in California, the biggest raw dairy in the world, is that raw milk contains bacteria that populate your gut and they make lactase. And they can make an enzyme that will digest lactose. Because people say, I'm lactose intolerant, I can't do raw milk. Well, you can start with kefir, which is fermented, not kefir, guys, it's kefir, important. We're gonna start a debate on
that. Kefir probably tastes good if you put some honey or fruit in there.
Kefir is soured, so it's fermented, but it's good, less lactose. Then you can progress to raw milk, but I don't have any lactose intolerance anymore with raw milk. And amazingly, in the podcast with Raw Farm, I don't know if we talked about this, there have been many anecdotes, this is off topic a little bit, of women using raw milk to improve their breast milk supply after pregnancy.
Totally makes sense.
Raw cow's milk.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, I was talking about this on the Instagram Live today. In Canada, you can go to jail for buying or trying to get raw milk. And these folks at Raw Farm can't say any of this. But because I don't make raw milk, I can tell you what I've heard.
Wow.
And what I've seen.
Wow.
And so, but it's crazy because the raw milk is like this, it's an interesting thing. And I don't know why it's such contraband, but I think it's one of the most healing foods for humans. And I mean that sincerely. It's almost a return to breastfeeding. You know, when your son, when your daughter were young, they were breastfed. That is how our guts are programmed, colostrum, and then milk, mammalian milk. And they're very similar between cows and humans. And I think for a lot of us that have had messed up guts from antibiotics, from all the medications I had as a kid, even people who are trying to fix their gut can take herbal antibiotics and mess up their gut. Returning to raw dairy from a cow or a camel or a goat or whatever you want to do is actually really therapeutic. It's like, in some ways, it's returning to breastfeeding with another animal being your surrogate in a really beautiful, kind way.
I'm going to get one of these like ice cream machine things immediately.
You don't even need that. You can just make it with a blender.
Oh, wow. Well,
but yeah,
I'm going to get started on that immediately for the kids. So if I add in some raw dairy, keep in the organ capsules, from everything you've seen, do you think I'm missing anything?
I think you're pretty good. I would try to get some raw, fresh organs too. A little bit of liver, a little bit of heart. What's nice about beef organs from Heart and Soil is it's heart, liver, kidney, spleen, and pancreas. Even in my diet, I can get heart and liver, but it's pretty rare that I get kidney, pancreas, or spleen, even though you can buy it sometimes. It's nice because that's most of the organs. You're getting a lot of things. And there's different peptides in spleen than there are in pancreas. Kidney has unique things. So that's a good wide spectrum thing. But then I think even getting your kids, like I was telling you about with your daughter, who's just now one, she might be able to.
And she just pounds meat and fruit. There's no meat or fruit that she turns down.
She might eat some fresh liver
too. Nothing. She eats any meat, any fruit, doesn't turn anything down.
And she's going to grow up.
And she's like thriving. Like if we would have known this with the first kid, it would have been so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. So what I would say is we talked about the raw dairy for you, for your family, for your kids, the organs, fresh and or desiccated, like the Heart and Soil beef organs. Yep. And then I think that's it, man. Honey, So it's Oregon.
It's made the last 3 years of my life super easy.
That's so cool.
But now to like really strategically apply it to the kids and the whole family. So I'm stoked. I'm set. I love when shit's simple. I've been doing the same exercises for like 10 years, just gradually sharpening them. And it gets better. I get like, I'm getting more athletic as time goes by. The diet, like when you find the right thing, it's like an investment that it just keeps getting better.
I love simple too. You guys can see my gym here in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic. It's a squat rack, which I barely use. It's some kettlebells. I've got 20-pound dumbbells. I've got a 10-pound dumbell and a kettlebell. And
that's
like
all
a,
we needed for the workout today.
That's all we needed.
We went through 10 exercises. We didn't need anything special.
I love the one you were showing me with my posterior delt. Let's talk about that, because I played baseball as a kid. I'm a surfer. I'm doing all this anterior shoulder movement, and this feels good.
Yeah. I get people constantly telling me that they're now able to bench press in these.
Whoa! You guys heard that.
I can't wait to see what that sounds like on the podcast. You know, whether it's throwing or bench pressing, we put so much intent into that forward force into the shoulder. And there's little muscles that even like hold your shoulder in place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get into position with your knee up, sitting on the floor or sitting on a bench. And then you're getting stronger in your external rotator. It's like the opposite of throwing. And you're hitting muscles behind your pecs, directly behind there. And the idea is not just to go through some random reps, but to get brutally strong in your external rotators. And you can make a shoulder that then you can do all kinds of pressing, throwing without pain. So credit for that goes to Ido Portal, who learned really the importance of this simple looking exercise from Charles Poliquin, who was my main mentor on the knee stuff. But Ido really spread this idea of like, don't just go through the motions with a band if you're then gonna be bench pressing push-ups at 100% intensity. It was his words, get brutally strong. And so the average guy these days can't do 10% of their body weight 10 times.
I can't.
That should feel like a feather. Like for athletes I've trained who wanna be like totally bulletproof, they're getting more like 15% of body. They're getting brutally strong. I try to maintain where I can at least do a 20-pound dumbbell, no problem. But most guys are going to start with like a 10-pound dumbbell. So it's interesting when it comes to the subject of strength that you can deviate so far from what's natural, you can leave your body vulnerable in certain places. So my idea is not to tell someone not to jump or not to run or not to bench. My idea is to find out, all right, what are the things that we got out of balance with so you can run, bench, jump even better than before and without the pain.
I feel like this is so parallel to organs, right? These are the little micronutrients of movement that people are missing. And it's so parallel. I see it like, we think about steak is protein and butter is fat. And you go to the gym and you squat and you bench press, which is great. Protein and fat are valuable for humans.
Yeah, to me a squat is the steak, but there's these other things.
What are the micronutrients, right? What are the micronutrient movements? Like the split squat that you had me do on the step, which you can do anywhere. And again, we'll link to this video, guys. I took, Ben and I talked about a full day of animal-based eating, and Ben took me through 10 exercises.
Yep, full program.
The reps program, to do. Yep, full program, exact programming of what to do, and it's just like the over-the-shoulder stuff, shoulder mobility. This is
full
the
body.
Micronutrients of movement to go with it.
Yep,
yeah,
that's the
totally
goal.
Micronutrients. So we've had an incredible rainy podcast.
Yeah.
It's literally pissing outside right now. We had some thunder and some lightning. But before we wrap up, I want to talk about this school you were telling me about. Because one of the things I appreciate about you so much, Ben, is that you're thinking outside the box. I feel a lot of kinship with you. I hope to be as creative as you are in the way that I'm thinking. But you started out, as you've told me in your words, as a gym owner in Florida.
Yep.
And you started thinking like, this is not the way it should be. These exercises could be better.
Yep.
But I think that with people like you, special people like you, you didn't stop thinking about that. Now you've got some other projects happening that I think are really interesting. It kind of wraps in what we're talking about. So tell me about this school that you're developing and what this is about.
Yeah, I mean, bear in mind that I was someone who used knees over toes training to get myself a full scholarship to college, to get there and be told by the strength coach that I wasn't allowed to do knees over toes. So, I'm glad for all the experience I went through and even going to college and seeing what that was like. High school, all this kind of stuff. It was very clear to me at the end of this, common sense is not in the school system. And any one of us watching could make a way better school right. system if we put our minds to it. And so I happen to be lucky enough to be in a position where my career has been pretty much running one gym. Like I have a gym back now, like I had one before the pandemic, I have one now. Running a gym, creating an unusual but highly effective system compared to the norm, and then putting that system online with videos and an affordable app. And so with my kids, I already knew I was gonna be homeschooling them. But then it's like, I don't want them to be by themselves. I want them to be in a small community, maybe like 20 students. So we've already got the land set out and designing the building, and I spend the first hour of every day working on the classes. Like, we just finished up our geography class, which is a perfect example. The school doesn't have like reading, writing, math. It's all real life subjects. So geography fits into our learning class. Learning is the second class each day. Only classes 2 and 4 out of the 5 do you even have to sit down. And when you do sit down, you're asked what you want to learn about. You're asked, where do you want to go? Then as a kid, you have to figure out the flights. You have to figure out the travel. Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to stay? That's going to end up with you doing lots of math. Just a real world example. You'll finish the school knowing how to change a tire, knowing how to do your taxes, knowing how to shoot videos, knowing the basics of coding or whatever the current tech is. So the textbook system for the knees is so far behind that the best things we discover won't be in the books for 20, 30 years. So by having it a virtual system, but nothing will replace me being in the trenches as an educator, taking my kids and 20 or so other kids through it. Nothing will replace that time, but I'm already prepping. Every single workday, the first hour starts with working on CSU, which is Common Sense University, the name of my school.
And it's gonna be in Florida.
Yeah, it'll be in Florida. We'll have meat and fruit there for all the kids. No, because I look now and my kid goes to a preschool and they are some of the kindest people I've ever met, but obviously didn't have education on nutrition. And it's mostly processed junk. Like it's mostly processed finger food junk. Like that's what kids are being fed.
Yeah.
At my school, you graduate when you're 14. Graduate, like you're done. That way, if you did want to go be in something where you need a degree, good, you can go off to prep school or whatever. But my kids will be 14, already now from 15 to 22, they'll be in the real world. By 22, they'll have hundreds of thousands of dollars saved up in the bank, probably already paid off real estate by the time they're 22 from working between that period. But every graduate by 14 will have way more knowledge of nutrition and exercise than like your average medical graduate at 22 or beyond.
It's so cool. I mean, it's the kind of school that I wish I'd gone to. I went to regular school, quote unquote. I went to Catholic school when I was younger and then elementary school. And you know, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever talked about this on a podcast. I did not do well in elementary school. And I remember so much negative self-talk for me, getting back math tests or things and I didn't get good grades. And I thought, I'm dumb. And I went to middle school and I really liked pre-algebra and algebra. And I thought, oh my God, I've been told my whole life and I've told myself that I'm dumb. And maybe I was just bored. Because I did pre-calculus and then calculus. And then I did, in high school, I took calculus and took the AP exams. I love math. I love multivariable calculus in college. I love calculus, but I couldn't do math in elementary school well. And I got bad grades. And I found spelling tests just arduous and boring. And it was just really interesting to think about the way that the system is clearly telling me, you're dumb. Paul, I'm dumb. I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm doing sloppy work, probably because I'm bored out of my, bored out of my coconut.
Yeah.
You know?
When I was on Rogan, he said that in this school system, he probably would have been on psychiatric drugs the school system. And like that left a big imprint on me. And then even thinking back, when I went to high school, they figured out that they could save money if they got the high school day done without lunch break. So the school went from 6:55 to 1:25. There was no lunch served at school. So is it common sense to take teenagers and have them, we're talking bell rings, like your ass is grass if you're not in the classroom at 6:55, pitch black outside. Does that seem like common sense to you, to take our teenagers and then give them no sleep? So kids were sleeping in almost every single class. So now you're showing up and you're using the time for kids to sleep half the time. because they're absolutely exhausted from having to show up at that time of day. So there's really nothing in the school that would be something that you listening to this wouldn't be able to come up with. Like, I'm just going to put in common sense, and I'm going to relentlessly put in common sense. That's all I've done with exercise, is try to put common sense into it. And it's the same thing I'm going to do with education for my kids, and then make it just in videos how I make it for exercise. It's going to be like, it's going to be the exact same business, same thing.
I hope there's one in Costa Rica, man.
Well, the idea of people will be able to do it anywhere, because it'll be $50 a month to access the curriculum, just like my exercise stuff. So then people can access the curriculum from anywhere, make their own, you know, community. There's over 700 people around the world now who are coaches of the stuff that I do. So I think it'll spread the same way, and people will be able to create their own little worlds. But yeah, if I can convince my wife to come out to Costa Rica for the summer, you know, maybe we could have like our summer spot in Costa Rica with like a CSU summer school.
That would be really cool.
That would be my dream, CSU summer school.
Yeah, that would be an amazing dream, because I think a lot that the way that we teach children is wrong. Medical school is wrong. So I kind of like you and I were talking about yesterday, I think medical school is too broken. I don't know if I'm going to start a new medical school, but I think that's what would have to happen. You'd have to start a whole new
medical school. I think people
will,
from coming up in a system like what I'm making, I'm just getting in the basics.
Yeah.
So by 14, you now have the basics of life so in. You're so interested in learning. You know how to learn. You know how to run a business. You have business class the whole time. Your five classes a day are skills. So the first hour of every day is skills, like real world skills, from survival skills to any kind of something you don't have to sit down in the classroom to learn. Skills, then learning, where you get to pick what you want to learn about. Then art, any kind of art or music, keep that in the whole time. Then business class. You take business class the whole 8 years. So kids will have such a leg up, and then the last one is fitness.
Yeah.
The idea is my school won't be a specialist school, but because kids have so much freedom of choice, they can start specializing if they want to on certain stuff. And so kids who come out of that, they're going to be able to do some wild things.
It's what we need. And I think that like the way we raise children is perhaps one of the most important things that we leave as a legacy in the world. Before we wrap up the podcast, I have to tell people listening and watching that yesterday when we connected, I said, "Hey, Ben, I'm coming back from surfing. I'll meet you at the house." And he says, "All right, I'll see you in an hour and a half."
It took longer than that.
"I'm walking to your house from my hotel." And I said, "What? All right. So how long did it take you to walk here?"
Well, the GPS estimated an hour and a half walking, but the GPS didn't realize it was uphill.
All uphill.
And I did all the steep hills backwards.
Backwards, of course.
So I was just, people are just seeing this guy like backward going up. I don't know, it took maybe two and a half hours.
To walk here from where you were staying.
But being out here in a tropical paradise, I just wanted to get that time in nature, just
so
connect
cool.
from everything.
Did anybody honk at you or say anything?
People said what's up. It was locals, I could tell. Locals. Yeah.
Did you pass anybody on a horse? There's some people on a horse.
I didn't see any horses, but I'll tell you actually a funny one. When I visited Costa Rica last time and was training Jack Dorsey on the beach. And so I'm hooked up to a band, and Jack Dorsey and I are going backward, and someone runs over. Like, you can see if someone is incoming, right? And they come right up to us, and here's Jack Dorsey. And they turn to me and they go, "Knees over toes, guy, you changed my life, bro." And like gave me a hug and went, didn't even recognize that it was Jack Dorsey. So that was like the wildest experience for me ever. So Costa Rica, I think it's a good place for knees over toes, guy.
Jack told me a story one time that he was walking on the beach with Jay-Z.
Oh, wow.
And somebody walks up to Jay-Z and goes, "Is that Jack Dorsey?" And Jay-Z goes, "I don't know."
That's amazing. So it was coming full circle.
It's come full circle, man. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
Thank you for coming on the podcast, brother.
Thanks for having me out here. I mean, just opening up your home, letting me spend a few days, letting me sharpen up these details for my kids. That's freaking priceless for me. So I'm locked in now, and I really appreciate it. It's going to make a big impact on the school to be able to get education in on nutrition, toxins, these kind of things that we don't learn about in school.
And it's so great to spend time with you as a human and be out in real life. This is Real Life Podcast, guys. In the rain, in the thunder, in the lightning. Maybe we should turn one of the cameras around and show people what the...
Give them a last look at what...
Yeah, turn.
We've experienced like every kind of weather in one day. Beautiful, perfect weather out surfing. and now all the way to this, cooling down.
So this is what's happening where we are, guys, right now. If you're watching the podcast on YouTube, this is what we'll leave you with. Amazing rain in Costa Rica in the jungle. But I think that, you know, it's so cool talking to you because I think that I the same thing comes up to me when I talk to my other friends. Like, there is this, when I have debates or arguments with people, they'll say, you're appealing to a naturalistic fallacy. And I think, I don't know if that even exists.
Yeah.
It's like a philosophical debate term, because what I keep coming back to is that when we do things, movement, exercise, same thing, diet, community, and nature, the way that they are generally happening in nature, right? And you and I were even talking about relationships and families and marriage and romantic lives in nature, like the way that that happens in the natural world and the way that it's happened for humans historically today,
yep.
Like things just work. And so consistently—
It was set up to work.
It was set up to work consistently,
natural,
yeah.
And common sense is my primary guide. I only think of studies as data, not something that's really gonna sway me too far one way or another. That's just like an assembly of data, like studies. What's natural and what's common sense, that's my number one guide. Like nothing for diet, for me, the need to get meat and fruit as high survival foods, I never have a need to look into studies and stuff like that because it's natural and it's common sense. It's the same with exercise. A lot of the stuff that maybe people said wasn't scientific at first, now studies are coming out and showing it, but it's like, I wasn't gonna wait for a study. And because studies can look different ways, because the government can lie to us, nothing for me is ever gonna be more powerful than my own observation of nature and common sense.
Common sense.
I have huge thanks. Like, I never could have predicted that the knees over toes movement would go so far. And it shows that there's other people out there with that same belief, that they're willing to think for themselves,
yep.
See what's natural, see what's common sense, and apply it without an authority telling them that that is truth or not truth. Nothing's gonna be truer than like what you actually can see and believe for yourself.
So well put. So. I couldn't have said it better. That's amazing. We'll stop the podcast there. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, bro.
Love you, man.
You too, brother.